Hi guys, nice to be back. Nice to see you all. I was quite excited about coming here today because I feel it's just kind of like coming back home. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time together now, and we think about our lives. We all come here this morning with little bits of baggage and brokenness, and we just want to lay those out on the floor before you this morning. And we want to know your shalom, your sozo, your peace and your completeness, wherever we are in life. And speak to each one of us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody, well, I'm sure you do remember the program on TV, and then it was a film, Mission Impossible, yeah? And it was, this tape will self-destruct in, was it 30 seconds? I can't remember. But I'm going to talk about mission, and I'm going to talk about mission possible. When we think about this life that we live and what we're asked to do for God, sometimes it does seem impossible. But we're going to see by the power of the Holy Spirit that it is possible. So can I just have the next slide up, please? And we'll just read this together. This is where we first think about the thought of mission. One of the first verses that comes to mind was Jesus talking, and he says, and you think about this and our mission, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This isn't just about ticking the box and getting to heaven. If you think about all the teachings of Jesus and applying those socially, culturally, as well as individually, this is what Jesus was saying. It's interesting because we're going to see that mission is bigger than this. This isn't when mission began. This is the Great Commission, but God has always had a mission. Right from the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God had a mission. And one of the first things God said is this: let us make man in our own image and our own likeness. That was unique. There were other creation stories in the book of Genesis. The Babylonian creation story was there prior to the Bible. Very interesting. But they created human beings, the story of the Babylonian creation, to serve them like slaves. But God says, no, I'm going to go one better. And as Moses writes it, he says this: let us make man in our own image, to become like us. I think it's only the earth that's not named after another planet. It's unique. After another, you know, a god. Jupiter, Mars and all that. And the earth's unique. We're unique. And God wants us. And if I've said this once, I've said it 100 times and you've probably remembered. God wants us to become the best version of ourselves. He wants us to change. He wants us to become like him. Isn't that incredible? I read the other day that Harry Potter goes out. Not Harry Potter. What's his name? Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, he goes out and he wears the same dirty hat and the same dirty jacket every time he goes out in public so that the paparazzi don't snap him. Isn't that amazing? Because there's nothing new. He hasn't changed, literally. But if God was the paparazzi, would he be getting his camera out for us? Do we change? Are we evolving? Are we changing? Are we developing? Are we becoming the best version of ourselves? We've got a grandson, Reuben. And you know, Facebook, there's pictures all the time. And there's another one. Oh my word, he's changed. And oh, he's got another word. And he's doing this. And he's doing that. I can't keep up with him. Wouldn't it be great if God was like that? I can't keep up with you. I'm going to film on my camera. That's a bit of an old-fashioned word, isn't it? I'm filming my camera. And right back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve had a commission, a great commission. They're told to dress the garden, keep it, guard it, fill it, subdue it. Interesting words. Just before the fall, they're told to subdue it. It has the thought of keeping underfoot like an enemy. Because they were told to create, to develop things, to make them better, to multiply. And heaven, and when Jesus spoke about heaven, he spoke more about earth. He wasn't talking about, you know, when you become religious, when you become a Christian, it's just like a swipe card into heaven. He never really spoke much about heaven, but he spoke about heaven coming to earth.
portals of heaven on earth. We've been thinking about sozo. I'm going to touch upon that later as well. It's where we can have a glimpse of heaven breaking into this earth. Heaven invading earth. That's what Jesus spoke about. Could we have the next slide, please? Does anybody know what this is? I've tried this on a few occasions and nobody gets it. I'm expecting a funky young people's church to get this, and I'm going to be disappointed. Don't let me go home disappointed. Somebody's... Pardon? Thank you very much. Chromecast. I've tried this on 3 churches. You're the first church to get it. Well done. You haven't got one. I have. It's great. Basically, whatever's on your phone, you can cast it onto your TV. What was Jesus' prayer? On earth as it is in heaven. God wants us to Chromecast heaven on earth. It's as simple as that. It's not about getting heaven to get it. It's not about getting to heaven. I get a bit wound up sometimes when we talk about praising God forevermore for thousands of years in heaven. It depresses me. God didn't ask Adam and Eve to praise him with songs and all this forever on earth. That's not what God was. God's on a mission. God cares about people that have been marginalized, that they have had their hearts broken, their lives broken. And he wants to cast portals of heaven on earth, where we are right now, with grass underneath our feet. God's earthy. He wants to bring it back to earth. And he hasn't got a mission for a church, for his church. He's got a church for his mission. And we can join in this mission. And it's changed a few times, but guess what, folks? Your plan B, and there's no other plan. I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, oh my word, you're the hope of the world. There you are. There's no other plan. And just as God said to Adam and Eve, go forth and multiply. And just as he says to Jesus, so it is with us. All authority in heaven and earth has been given. Think about that. You've got authority to have heaven in your life. Sometimes you have hell in your life. Let's be honest. But God wants to break that and give you portals of heaven in your life instead. It's all about the reign of God in your life. But it takes time to invest in this kind of thing. It doesn't come overnight. I read an expression just before I came to church today called how we expect microwave maturity. And everything's at an instance, isn't it? Do you remember the days in work? Well, I remember the days in work when I used to wait for a drawing from the States that used to come by FedEx. It took 3 days to come. Now you've got a PDF in seconds. And that's the kind of world we live in. It's like a microwave world. But spiritual things don't always come that quick. It takes time to sow. Invest. Be patient. Just like Adam and Eve. Cultivate. Grow. You know, I travel on the M4 every day and it drives me insane. There's always, especially before Christmas, it's always hold-ups. There's always bumps. There's always... And you know, I don't know what it's like sometimes, but you sit in a traffic jam for like half an hour and then things start to move and then you come round the bend and you actually get disappointed that you haven't seen a car crash. Ever felt like that? Then you feel guilty that you feel disappointed you haven't seen a car. What was that about? I've been here for half an hour. I wanted to see at least some glass and broken bits or whatever. But what happens is this. Some nutter at the front goes 90 miles an hour. And because they're going too fast, they touch the brakes. And the person behind them then has to do 80. Then the next person has to do 70. There's no accident. Then they have to do 60. And there's a back wave which travels backwards at 12 miles an hour. This is what I've learned by travelling on the M4 every day. There's a back wave that goes back 12 miles an hour. And there's no accident. It's because people don't give time. We don't give space. Time, investment into the reign of God. I remember Debbie complained about we'd renovated the house and the bathroom downstairs. We couldn't put a radiator in. I won't go into the reasons why. So I had to buy this electric oil-filled radiator. And we had to sort of put a timer on it to time it to come on, different times to the heat in and so forth. And... She'd had a bit of a bad week in work, and I came home, And I bought this timer because I was going to help Debbie keep warm and make my wife feel good. And I came home with this timer, and Debbie was trying to tell me about the day that she'd had in work. And I was kind of half listening. You know what, like blokes, like, they want to fix things, don't they? That's what blokes want to do. Women just want to talk. We all want to talk, but men want to fix things. We're task orientated. So I was trying to fix this, and we got quite upset. Well, Debbie got quite upset. We didn't speak for 3 hours. And on it went. And eventually things were sorted out. And I thought the irony of it all was this, that I was trying to get a timer to work, and she just wanted time. And this is what it's about. It's giving time. Investing. And you know, one of the things that you can invest in the most is mission. Jesus, one of the first words of Jesus was this, I'll make you fishers of men. What gives us identity is when we enroll into God's mission. That's what gives us our identity. First words of Jesus. But it's not just tickets to heaven. It's not just about heaven. Teaching them all things, he says, that I've commanded you. Sensitive to the needs of others. Having our eyes and our heart and our ears open to injustice, suffering, oppression. Those people that have been marginalized, those people that have fallen by the wayside in society, those that have been rejected by society, and guess what, folks, even the church. When we've given the impression that people aren't good enough for the church, God forbid, God save us from this. When we become so judgmental and proud and we think, well, these people aren't good enough. Those people that have been rejected by society. And so forth. Like me and my car the other day. It's going to be a lot about my car today. I was driving home and it was getting dark. And I thought, I'll put my side lights on. Put my lights on like a good person. So I put my lights on. It was getting darker. And there was a guy in front that hadn't put his lights on. I thought, okay, I'll give him a few minutes. And a few minutes went by. He still hadn't put his lights on. It's getting quite dark now, and he's starting to annoy me. Do you know what I mean? And it is pitch black, and he hasn't got his lights on. I'm flashing him, and I'm really getting wound up. After a while, it seems like forever, he eventually puts his lights on. Doesn't thank me, doesn't say thank you or whatever. All of a sudden, there's a guy behind me flashing his lights. What are you doing, flashing your... I didn't put my lights on. I only had my side lights on, and I was so obsessed with judging somebody else. One of the words I love in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and it says this, he did not come to judge. He did not come to judge. And that's why God became a man, because he knew what it feels like to go what we go through. So you can empathize. Can we have the next slide up, please? Listen to this. And this is why we need to... There's something called incarnational mission, where God becomes like us because he understands us. And society's evolving. Look at this guy. His name is Helmut Thielicke. It's a great name for a theologian. This is what he said. The task of the church is to keep on forward in the good news of Jesus to new addresses because the recipient keeps moving on. You can't sit down and relax when you're serving God because things are moving on. Somebody said this recently, the church should always be in crisis. Should always be in a state of crisis in the sense that we're moving on. Culture changes, people move on. And we have to be able to communicate in a way which is relevant and real for people. And that's why we read this about David. He served God's purpose in his own generation. And there's a way that you can be a part of God's mission that only you can do, that's unique to you. I just want to explain this. If we can have the next slide, please. In Acts chapter 2, there's a couple of verses to read. Day of Pentecost. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Next slide, please. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each one of us hears them in our native language?" The interesting thing about these red words that I've put up here is this. The actual Greek word is, and I'm probably saying it wrong, is something like dialectos. It's the word dialect. Now the interesting thing is this. That the apostles, when they were preaching in Acts chapter 2, they could have spoken in Aramaic, they could have spoken in Greek. But not only did people hear them speaking in the language that they understood, but they heard them speaking in their own dialect. The very language, the very lilt, I got a bit of a cold, my voice is going a bit weird, so I'm hoping it survives. The very lilt of the sound when they were on their mother's knee. If they were from Newport, they would have said town. If they were from Newcastle, they would have said toon. You know what I mean. And basically, and this is why I'm glad that you talked quite a bit about sozo at the beginning. This is what sozo's about, isn't it? It's going back to where you were on your mother's knee. The dialect. They would have heard them in Greek or Aramaic, but they chose to use the language in a miraculous way. They heard them, and the word dialect has the word dia, which is the word diameter, which goes through. It's getting through. And we're all products of our past. That's why there's sozo. Jesus said to that woman at the well, he spoke about how many husbands she'd had. He knew she'd been broken by 5 men. And so he does a sozo. He goes into her past. And he talks about her past. And he begins to heal her. If we can have the next slide, please. I'm going to teach you a word today. Did you know? You've heard the word shalom. Everybody's heard that. It's the Hebrew word for peace. But did you know that if you had an Old Testament and you were translating it into Greek, you'd use the word sozo. So sozo is shalom. It has the thought of completeness. As we're thinking with sozo, it means to heal, to be complete, body, soul, and spirit. Dukkha is a Buddhist word, and it's a Hindu word, and it means the opposite. It means incomplete. The meaninglessness of life. When things aren't what they should be. And let's be honest, we all feel that dukkha. We all feel this isn't how it was meant to be. This isn't what it says on the instructions. This isn't what it was meant to be. There's bits missing. Because shalom, sozo, means complete. It is associated, shalom is associated with the reign of God. 250 times in the Old Testament. It has to do with the reign of God. The shalom, the completeness. And we're all products of our past, so bits fall off. The first cut is the deepest. And bits fall off, so we're not complete. And we all need some kind of emotional rescue. As the Rolling Stones once used to sing. It means complete, fulfilled, connected, no bits missing. The stones that were used for the altar in the Old Testament were to be uncut. Shalom. Shalom stones. God can make us uncut. Even though the first cut has been the deepest. He can fill those bits in, not with polyfiller, with the Holy Spirit. And he can help us to heal in a way like we've never known before. So the word shalom, even though it has the thought of peace, I always think of it as pieces. Where God brings things back together. was in the shower the other day, and I was reading a shampoo I was using. Oh, my word, have you seen them? Restoration shampoo. Revitalization. This will change your life. Oh, my word, I was thinking Shalom shampoo. That would be a good one, wouldn't it? Crazy. The bits that are missing. Have you noticed lots of songs that talk about... Most songs in the charts are to do with people that have been broken through love, isn't it? And they've got bits missing. Atomic Kitten. Well, I can make you whole again. I'll go back to Hot Chocolate for some of the older ones of us. I'll put you together again. The Police, Sting. There's a hole in my life. You know it. I know it. There's bits missing. But God understands the meaninglessness of life. That's what the cross is about. God's not going like that with the cross. I know what it's like, he says. Somebody said to somebody recently, don't ever question God. How bizarre is that? What did Jesus say when he was going through meaningless suffering on the cross? Why? God identifies with us. He identifies with meaningless suffering in life and the holes and the broken bits. It's like I said, who'd ever volunteer for a job behind a dartboard? Have you seen walls behind dartboard? It's because people miss. The Hebrew word for sin means to miss. We all miss. And we all hurt one another. And we have bits that are broken. But God says, I'll shalom. I'll sozo you. I'll remove the dukkha in your life. We've got to be real, you see, that people, everybody in this room has had a brokenness that they could tell you about. We are products of our past. I've been through sozo twice. To do with some issues that I've had, not just with our marriage, that stemmed right back to when I was a boy. But we've got to face up to these things. We have to. Can we have the next slide, please? There's a guy in our church who was on drugs and so forth, and God did an incredible thing in his life. This is Robbie Williams' album that came out, I think it was just before Christmas, that I was quite shocked that Craig had a copy of. Respect to Craig, I have to say that. Quite shocked at that. I'm not sure if he lied and then went out to buy it quickly. I don't know. I wouldn't put the lyrics up, to be honest with you, of Robbie Williams' song, because this is a family service. Maybe if I was Johnny Jones, I would, because he's got a bit more guts than me. Did you once swear preaching, or did you talk about somebody that sworn? Anyway, it might not have been you. I'm giving him a bad reputation. There's a song on there that I can't even tell you the title of it. But basically, Robbie Williams was messed up with drugs and lots of other things. And so apparently was his mother, his father, and all these kind of things. And he sings a song, and I didn't realize, he writes it for his son. And as he writes this song, I started crying when I listened to the words. Basically, he talks and he says to him, your mother was a cutter, your grandfather was this, your grandmother was this. And he's basically saying, you haven't got a hope, mate, because you're a product of your past. And then he says this, and I had shivers going up my spine, but we all believe that you're going to break the chain. And the power of the Holy Spirit can break the chain. You might never have heard this before in your life. You think, what on earth is he talking about? God comes in wirelessly. No connections, no strings attached, no wires, wirelessly. Holy Spirit, bam. Sozo, shalom. Break the connections of your past. But it gets messy, doesn't it? But you've got to go there. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit turned up, he wiped out all the agenda. They were in uncharted waters. Crisis. But God comes in a powerful way. But, you know, We have to do our bit. I don't want you to get the wrong impression here. God saves you. God does the work. But you have to do your bit. I'll explain in a moment. It's not just about Jesus. I'll explain what I mean. Jesus isn't the answer to everything. Let me just explain before you misquote me. Like the little kid in school, in Sunday school, and it was always the same. Who did this? Who died on the cross? Jesus, miss. Who did this? Who is going to give us eternal life? Jesus, miss. So one day the teacher said, what's brown, got a furry tail, funny teeth, eats nuts and lives in the tree? Puts his hand up. He goes, Jesus, but it don't half sound like a squirrel. The answer isn't always Jesus. Paul said this in the New Testament. Work out your own salvation. God gives it to us. But you've got to work it. You've got to work at it. And you've got to go into those areas that you know are painful. But they're holding you back. And you've got to move on. So it's like I'm doing an advert for Sozo. It's amazing, isn't it, the timing of this. I got no more to say. I'm finished. But I just pray that there's something you're prepared to take the risk and say to God, I don't understand this whole God thing. I don't understand this whole church thing, but I know that there's a Holy Spirit, and I know that you died on the cross, and I know that you understand because you came and you suffered and you understand how I feel. And I just pray that there might be somebody here this morning who is going to break the chain. Yeah? You're going to say, not anymore. This train doesn't stop here anymore. And I want to move on. Let's just pray. Father, we want to think about the verse that says about Jesus, with his stripes we are healed. And Lord, we thank you for that word, which means to be repaired, that you can repair us, that you can put us back together and make us complete. We pray, Lord, that we might know what it is to be more like your image. Help us to change. We don't want to be the same. We don't want to get up and just face the day and think, here we go again. Lord, we want to move on. Holy Spirit, we pray this morning. We give you permission to enter into our lives. Holy Spirit, we know that you are as gentle as a dove. You're not going to break the door down. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, he shook the world. And you'll shake our lives, but you won't break the door down. Holy Spirit, we want to open the door from the inside and let you come in and heal our lives. You know our brokenness. Whether it's abuse, whether it's drugs, whether it's things from our past that we don't forgive. And it's made our heart ugly. We want to be beautiful for you, Lord. We want to be precious. We want to be pure. So we pray now through the blood of Jesus and this ultimate release of the Holy Spirit, enter now and sozo and shalom our lives. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.